Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Warning, sticky situation ahead. If you would, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 38. Look at the first few verses there. Beginning with verse 1, Jeremiah 38. Now, Shephatiah, the son of Mathan, Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." Therefore the princes said to the king, "Please let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of these people, but their harm." Then Zedekiah the king said, "Look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you." So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes, and the dungeon there was no water but mire, and so Jeremiah sank in the mire. When it was decided to let him out, it took 30 men with ropes to get Jeremiah free from the mire. Look at verse 7 down to verse 13. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. And when the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, who they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies." And so Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. And so they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Why 30 men to get Jeremiah out? Was it because he was so heavy? No. He sank into the mire and the resulting suction was powerful. A power greater than Jeremiah was required to set him free from its grip. Sin is that way. At first, sin seems okay, and we think we can handle it. Then we begin to sink and get caught in its powerful suction. We end up enslaved by its strong grip. A power greater than ourselves is required to set us free from its grasp. Psalm 40, verse 2. "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps." Matthew chapter 14, our passage, our text, verses 1 and 2. "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus, and said to his servants," verse 2, "said to his servants, 'This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him.'" Why did Herod think it was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Well, it was because he was the one who killed him. This is the account of the murder of the Baptist. Why was he killed? He was an irritation to the lifestyle of sin lived by the king of Israel. Just a little bit of background on that to give you the situation of what's going on. This Herod was the son of Herod the Great. He was one of four rulers, or tetrarchs, of a kingdom that was divided among the sons of Herod the Great upon his death. This one was named Antipas for King Herod. The other three brothers were Aristobulus, Philip, and one that we're not sure of his name. As the drama of John plays out, we can see in our scriptural passage three issues that we need to pay attention to regarding sin. They are, first of all, unconfessed sin. Second, unbridled seduction. And third, unprincipled society. First, there's the dilemma of unconfessed sin. Look at verses 3 through 5. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So, who was this woman anyway, Herodias? Well, she was the daughter of Aristobulus, one of the sons of Herod the Great. When she married Philip, also one of the sons of Herod the Great, she married her uncle. Herod Antipas was another of the sons of Herod the Great. And so Herod talked Herodias into leaving her husband, his brother Philip, to marry him. So he was not only marrying his brother's wife, but she was also his own niece. This was incest. No, this was compounded incest and a violation of the law. Leviticus chapter 18, just a basic principle. In Leviticus 18, verse 6, none of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. And then for Herod particular, verse 16, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. This is your brother's nakedness. And then for Herodias, verse 14, the first part of it, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. John was outraged that a ruler of Israel would commit such blatant sin openly and with no shame. And so the Baptist rebuked King Herod. And the king had quite a dilemma on his hands. He knew the law and that he did wrong, but Herodias was his wife. He had to go home with her. She was upset because she was publicly shamed. The pressure was on Herod to protect her honor. Her honor. He liked the situation that John called sin, but he did not like being criticized for it. Besides, he was the king. So Herod put John in prison to get rid of the public confrontation. Of course, that didn't solve the problem. And why is that? Well, because he was also dealing with a moral dilemma. If I get rid of him, I won't feel bad. No more public ridicule. But if I kill him, I'll have all the people against me as they regard him as a prophet. So Herod's conscience was given him problems too. Mark chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. What a struggle he had. A moral conflict. A king's love or lust for Herodias versus his very guilty conscience. The constant pressure of being confronted about your sin. You must do something with the inner conflict. And there's no rest until it's resolved. You can deal with the sin in repentance, or you can try to remove the source of guilty feelings. It's easy to slip into sin, so guard your heart. When sin gets in, deal with it before God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beware of pride getting in the way of confession and repentance. 1 Peter chapter 5, in the second part of verse 5, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In his dilemma of unconfessed sin, Herod was being sucked down into its mire. And second, there's the desire of unbridled seduction. Verses 6 through 8. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter. Who was the daughter? She was the child of Herodias and Herod's brother Philip. Just a little tidbit of history. Josephus, the Jewish historian of the time, contemporary to these events, wrote that she married another of the sons of Herod, the great, the unnamed one. She married her own father's brother, her uncle, who was also her own mother's uncle. The web of incest is just, it's further entangled. In relationship term, this girl was her own mother's first cousin. And she became her mother's aunt by marriage. Try to wrap your brain around that for a second or two. Mark chapter 6 and verse 21 records that an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. He's just about to sink a little deeper into the mire. As a birthday gift, Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced. Historians indicate that her dance was suggestive, much like today's striptease dances. In Mark chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, it says, and when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. Matthew 14, verse 7, in our text, indicates that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. In her bitterness toward John the Baptist, Herodias was always looking for a way to kill him. In the Mark parallel passage, verse 24-25, so she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. You see, bitterness must be dealt with through forgiveness. The forgiveness of your offender and your own forgiveness of the sin of bitterness. If not, you'll just sink deeper into the mire, and more sin will result. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 speaks of this. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, in his lustful desire after the dancing of his stepdaughter, Herod fell prey to unbridled seduction, and he just sunk in the mire. And then third, there is the destruction of unprincipled society. Look at verses 9 through 12. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him. He commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. And then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Herod was willing to add more sin to the situation in order to save face. He didn't want to kill John the Baptist, but he had made an oath to the daughter. He didn't want to kill John the Baptist, but he didn't want to be embarrassed in front of all his guests. He didn't want to kill John the Baptist, but he was concerned about his reputation. Herod's conscience was condemning him to death with guilt, and yet the need to keep up appearances became a higher priority for him. And so the Baptist had to go, and Herod sank deeper in the mire. Pastor Tony Campolo said, as a Christian, you need to come to the place where you look at this world in the face and say, who cares? You're called to please the Lord, not this world. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Where are you? Are you standing in the mire of some sin and sinking with every move? Jesus is waiting, and he will lift you up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have a great day.